Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today. I've got a story in my mind. It's a Bible story. I want you to turn to it. Get your Bible out. Get your Pure Bible Search software out. Or that which we have handled of the Word of Life. Get that out. Take a look at it. I'm not sure if I have it in my notes, that I am going to put some notes on the screen. I'm not sure if I have it in there. But anyway, it's good to be with you today. And it's a beautifully cold day here in Missouri. It was like Sunday, we were like sweating. It was like almost 80 degrees. And, you know, sweat just pouring down my face. And then today we get up, it's like 24 degrees this morning. Welcome to Missouri. You should move here and enjoy this because it's fun weather. You never know what you're going to get. They were actually calling for a little snow. I haven't looked outside to see if it has snowed yet or not. But anyway, Joshua chapter 10, I got to thinking about the reason why we're having so many difficulties with our radio station, with our streaming services, things like that. And undoubtedly, we have enemies. Now, I don't know that anybody is hacking into our system, deliberately doing things. However, I will say, I had a webcam on my computer in my church office here. You would think this is my church office because this is where I spend 90% of my day, more than that. But down in my church office, I had a webcam on my computer, and I was experimenting with it, with, you know, Wirecast and open broadcasting software and so on. And the webcam, like this one here, it lights up blue when it's activated. So I came into the church one Sunday, and sitting there at my desk, and I looked at that webcam, and it was on. And this was probably about 45 minutes before church ever started. And I remember saying out loud, why is that blue light on that webcam on? And then all of a sudden, snap, it shut off. Somebody was monitoring my office. That I don't know for what reason, but somebody, whether it was just random hackers who, because I hadn't changed the default password on the on the camera itself. And because you can get into it if you don't change the password, whether it was random hackers or whether it was somebody who means to do us harm. Now, we have this ministry, and I'll say this ministry, rather than saying me personally, because I can't imagine anybody not liking me. I can't. It just doesn't come into my mind. So I'll say it this way. I'll say this ministry. I understand this ministry has enemies, excuse me. People that don't like us. And the people who don't like us, it is because of what we say. It's not really because of what we do, it's because of what we say. Whether it's hyper-dispensationalists, Hebrew roots, or just any kind of crazoid out there on the internet, that I have violated their pet peeve doctrine. I stepped across their artificial line that they drew in the sand, and that makes them an instant enemy. And by cracky, they're gonna speak out against me, and they're gonna bring down a prophetic research ministry. There will be nothing left of that ministry by the time I get done with it. And so we have our enemies. We have people we have one guy that tries to pose as me all the time. He resurfaces every now and then, convinces people that that he is me. He gets people with video blogs on YouTube convinced that Mike Hoggard has said certain things about them, and so they go on a Mike Hoggard tirade, having not ever checked it out. They go on a Mike Hoggard tirade, and I always write them and say, "You fell for it, you knuckle." I sometimes call them an idiot. You fell for it. You fell for it. I'm the real Mike Hoggard. Here's my YouTube channel. Here's my sermon audio channel. I dare you to go through all 2,800 of my messages that are online and find one thing that I ever said about you. And then usually they take the video down because they know they got caught. So we have enemies here. We have, in some cases, I believe, some very dangerous enemies in Kenya. I believe that the whole issue where one of our station managers was in the process of stealing everything that we had over there, including both radio stations and all of our equipment, our name, everything that we have over there. He was that close to completely stealing everything that we had. We would wake up one day and find out that we don't own a radio station in Kenya. He was that close. And I believe that sabotage was deliberate. Because we have very powerful enemies that are against us in Kenya. And it's bothersome. I see the toll that it takes on Michael. He gets really, really troubled over it. And it's hard on him. And I pray for him all the time. I'm asking you to pray for him. Because that's, you know, that's his direct work. It's his labor. It's the thing that he has worked so hard to put together. And to have somebody just come out right out from underneath you, somebody that we trusted, and steal it right out from underneath you, that's difficult to bear. So anyway, you pray for him. He's going back to Kenya here before too long. And so just lift him up in your prayers and pray for him. We have most things back online, ready to go. And just, you know, ask the Lord for a special blessing for him. So my question is, who are your enemies? Who are your enemies? Who are some of your enemies? Is there a general enemy of the entire church? Yes. His name is Satan. Is there a general enemy of all decent people in the world? Yes, his name is Satan. And I want you to remember this, because I'm gonna say some things again today that won't make me famous all over the world. Remember that we are not wrestling against Fauci and Gates. Write that down. We're not wrestling Fauci and Gates. We're not wrestling against them. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, is what your Bible says. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look in Joshua chapter 10. This is the story where Joshua told the sun, stand still. Oh, yeah, moon, you too. Stop right there. Don't move. And it was the zeal of Joshua that he wanted all of his enemies dead before the sun went down. He saw the sun going down and he's going, I'm not done defeating my enemies. I don't want that sun to go down. And God put it in his heart to say, son, stand thou still. And the sun didn't move for the space of an entire day, the Bible says. That is amazing that happened. And it makes me wonder about the physics of it. Did the earth stop its rotation, or did God suspend linear time? That's a deep subject to think about. Did God actually suspend linear time. That's a big one. So now let's see here. Let's look in our Bibles. Let's go to Joshua, Joshua chapter 10, verse 20. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, "Open the mouth of the caves and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." Now those five kings, hang on a second. Those five kings represent, what does five represent? Represents death. Those five kings had the power together to kill, I guess, any Israelite. But they captured the five kings. They chased them into a cave. Once they find out they're hidden in the cave, Joshua says, "Roll great stones over the mouth of the cave and lock them in there." So that's what they did. So now they have no effect. And so then, verse 21, and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Verse 22 is the number four, opening cave doors. It's the number four, revelation. Then said Joshua, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." I like it. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave: the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, "Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings." And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of these of them. Now, these kings are probably going, "Whew." Because if that's all they do, we're going to get off pretty easy. They just put their feet on our necks, guys. That's all they're going to do. Whew. I think we're getting off easy. Then it says, verse 25. Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." And again, they're going, "Oh, wow. This is going to be pretty cool." And afterward, Joshua smote them. Uh-oh. And slew them, and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And you know what the kings are saying now? Nothing, because they're dead, just blowing in the breeze. That's what they're doing. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword. The king thereof, he utterly destroyed them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain. He did to the king of Makeda as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makeda and all Israel with him into Libna and fought against Libna, and the Lord delivered it also and the king Israel and the king thereof into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, he let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jerusalem. So what he did there with the five kings, he did to every other king. He just hung him, just let him sway in the wind. And remember, I think some of these kings could very well have been giants. Certainly not midgets. Certainly not. Because it doesn't mention that these kings were members of the lollipop gang. I don't have my drums. I don't have them today. So anyway, so this is, and if you haven't picked up on this yet, the story is they took the kings, smote them, hanged them on five trees. They were there until the going down of the sun. Then they took them down, cast them into the cave, rolled great stones over the cave, and the stones on the cave remain to this day. We don't know where those bodies are. We've never found them. It is an identical story, minus four other kings, but it is an identical story to the story of the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus took all of our enemies onto himself and nailed them to his cross so that when he died, they died. Woo! Somebody said, you know what? Let's see if I can. Just don't sound like a PMO without my sound effects, does it? Just don't sound the same. Oh, I lost my cable. Is that it? That's it right there. Go. Let's see if I can get some sound effects going here. Now, I'm not an electrician, so you just pray for me as I plug this in. Now let's see what'll happen here. Ooh, yeah. Hang on a second. Just seconds away here. No, that's not what I want. Just seconds away here from some shouting. It's a little loud, isn't it? We'll turn it down. How's this? We'll try this one. Now it needs to be a little up. There we go. All right. Now, take a look up on the screen here. Let me put some words up on the screen. A study I did years ago against enemies. I've got enemies. You've got enemies. We've all got enemies. Thank God for your enemies. You find out, you go through life, you need those enemies. They need to be there. Because if they're not, then you won't grow as a Christian. You won't be exercised as a Christian should be. You won't be professional as a Christian should be. You will not know warfare, prayer, warfare, spiritual warfare, except God loose your enemies, the things that are against you, except that God loose them against you. You won't know how to fight them off. And one of these days, I believe we're gonna face some pretty big enemies. God had prepared David when he went to fight Goliath. God had prepared David by allowing David to kill a lion and a bear. And he got good with his sling. And when he let the rock out of a sling, he knew where that rock was going. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That rock was leaving that sling, and it was going to exactly the place that he wanted it to go. No exceptions, no exclusions. He had gotten that good at it. He had practiced at it. Now, God helped him. There's no doubt in my mind. God helped him on that day. But still, he had practiced enough to where he was not afraid. And he's, you know, mouthing off at Goliath, who's, you know, probably got him beat by at least 5 feet. And Goliath chewing him out. You come to me like this. And David says, no, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. How's that? That's about all I need. I just come to you in the name of the Lord. If I come to you in the name of the Lord, you are toast, bread and butter is what you are, Goliath. We're going to eat you for breakfast tomorrow morning. Exodus 15:9. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Now, I just noticed in that verse, there were six things that the enemy said that he would do to us. I will pursue, overtake, divide the spoil, which means any army that comes into a city and takes, it's like when Hitler's men rode into Paris, they just stole all the artwork out of Paris. Every bit of it. It wasn't theirs. They just stole it and kept it for themselves. That's the spoil. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. Whatever I desire to do to them, that's what I'm going to do to them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. That's what our enemies say about us. Sixth thing here that he said is, I will destroy them. Now, people, when you have enemies and understand that you do, make sure you understand that your enemy means to kill you, to destroy you, whatever means possible. And if he can't kill you, he's going to do everything he can to destroy your witness, to destroy your character, to destroy how people see you. He'll do everything he can to set you up to do that. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all, how much? All that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I will cut them off. Notice here there's six enemies. So we have the enemy in Exodus 15:9 doing six things. Exodus 23, we have the enemy. We have six different enemies. Now, let's see here. Get to do this. Leviticus 26:16. I will also do this unto you. And this is when we will not serve God, when we know we should be. We know for a fact we should be serving God. We should be in church. We should be praying. We should be listening to the message, shouting amen at the preacher. We should be doing those things. But we get lazy and we don't. And so God says, well, I also will do this unto you then. I will even appoint over you terror, a consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. Let me stop right here. I kind of purpose that as little as possible, I was going to just allow all of this depopulation, vaccination, Fauci, Gates, evil machine, I was going to let it go. Because I don't believe Bill Gates and Fauci, I don't believe that they have the power that you think they have to kill 90% of the world's population. I don't believe they do. Now, you're saying I'm wrong. That I can handle that. I've been wrong before. I've been right before. When others have said I was dead wrong and an idiot. Okay? But look at your Bible. Who sends the terror, the consumption, the burning ague, which is like a fever, that consumes the eyes and causes the sorrow of heart? Who does that? Fauci? Bill Gates? The Rockefellers? No. God does that. God doesn't. And he said, you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Some of you are running and screaming, ah, they're out to kill us all! Ah! And nobody's chasing you. Nobody is. Mark 4:14. Anyway, he said, you sow your seed in vain and your enemies shall eat it. Look at Mark 4:14. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And boy, I'll tell you something. That's been done. That's been done. Social media is the greatest, most powerful voice on the earth. Social media. And yet we fill it full of cat videos, baby videos, videos about the COVID vaccine. And see, this me saying these words is going to get this video flagged by YouTube. They'll have to review it before they allow it. And what's happened is the enemy has come in, diverted your attention away from the Word of God, and you've put up everything else in the world except scripture verses. Well, I tell you what, this Bible's right. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. He did it immediately. The fourth kingdom. Here's what the fourth kingdom does. Deuteronomy 28:48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. Didn't say anything about killing you with the V word. Didn't say anything about that. He's going to let you live, but you're going to serve him in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he's going to put a yoke of iron upon thy neck. Do you know what that yoke of iron is? Fourth kingdom. Iron mixed with miry clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Daniel 2, verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. That's our real enemies, people. Ephesians 6, we read this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, which are all around us every day. The more you study this Bible, the more aware you become of where these spirits are in your life, you'll find them. Deuteronomy 32, 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasure? In other words, has not God written this in his treasure book and kept it there? Sure he has. It's in your treasure book right now. It's in the book that God gave you to read every day. And you won't read it. You'll read the internet. You'll read blogs. You'll sit and watch 2-3 hour videos at a time, one after another, and get all of your ideas from YouTube channels. But you won't get your ideas from the Word of God. You won't find out that what your real enemies are. 1 Samuel 25. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and all hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls, listen to this, the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Only a boy named David, only a little sling, only a boy named David, yet he could play and sing. Only a boy named David, only a babbling brook. Only a boy named David, yet 5 little stones he took. And one of the stones went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one of the stones went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And around and around and around and around and around and around and around. the souls of thine enemies, them will he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Man, isn't that something? God, here's Goliath, our enemies. Here's the souls of our enemies. God's going to take and use them to bring down our enemies. Our enemies killing off our enemies so that we don't have to fight because we'll get beat anyway. I love it when God does stuff like that. 1 Samuel 25, verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal. Behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry with him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal and everybody had hangovers. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I shouldn't have drank that much last night. Oh, I feel sick. It came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things that his heart died within him and he became as a stone. A lot of people say that he had a stroke. Could very well be. But he became as a stone. And stones, what do they need? They need to be written on. And it came to pass after about 10 days after. What does that mean? It means Nabal is a picture of the law. Romans 7. What know ye not that a woman is married to the law so long as her husband liveth, is bound by the law? That's who Nabal represented. He represented the law. He turns to stone and stays that way for 10 days. He's the law that Abigail has to abide by. She can't just leave Nabal and say, I like David better than Nabal. I bet David treats me better than Nabal would. And eventually they do get married because Nabal dies from his wickedness, from his drunkenness, from the transformation of his heart to stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. See, this is what God can do to your enemies. Let me ask you a question. What are you afraid of? In this world, right now, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of you afraid of getting sick? And that sickness leads you to death? Is that what you're afraid of? Are you afraid that you're going to be in some automobile accident, not make it to where you're going, get killed in an automobile accident, die? If you're afraid of what man can do to you as far as taking away the life out of this world, out of you. If you're afraid of that, you're afraid of the wrong thing. That's what God has not given us a spirit of fear over. Now, I know that there is built into this body a natural fear of death. I've picked up dead bodies before. I've seen the face of death of those who died suddenly. And it's like there's a horror that filled their face. And it's not something neat to look at. I can tell you that. Now, whether you're saved or you're lost, I believe that at the moment of your death, there could very well be a horror that just consumes every thought of you if you get the time to dwell on it. That's the horror of death, the sting of death, I believe. So I guess in a way, all of us are a little scared of death. But if you know Jesus Christ, and you know where that salvation that he offered you is going to take you one of these days, maybe God will give you mercy and you won't be near as afraid of death as you are right now. Amen. Psalm 21:8, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. You know, here's your right hand right here. This is your right hand. You know what? This is a true story. True story one time. We had kind of had a bad time in our church. This is years ago, and some people left. And I kept hoping that, you know, once these people left, that there would be peace in the church, because there was just a lot of tension, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of backbiting, things like that. And it was a lot of women that was doing it. Meanwhile, we had a family that had started coming to our church. And it just so happened that the position of daycare director needed to be filled because some of the people left, and one of the people that left was our daycare director. And there was still so much of a spirit, a heavy, bad spirit in this church. And I couldn't figure it out. And I finally went to the Lord and I said, God, you've got to show me, you know, where this spirit is or who it is. You got to show me. I don't know how I'm going to handle it, but you've got to show it to me because I got to know. And so I opened my Bible up and I opened it up to a place, and I looked at it for a second and I thought, no, I don't think the answer is going to be there. And I got ready to turn the scripture and the Holy Ghost said, Mike, don't turn away from there. That's exactly where you need to read. So I'm reading, and here's Jehu. Is it peace? The guy says to Jehu, is it peace? And Jehu says, there's no peace so long as that woman Jezebel and her witchcrafts continue to prosper. And right there and then, the Holy Ghost said, Mike, that's it. You have a Jezebel in this church that is trying to take over an area of authority. She will work against you behind your back to try to destroy you and get you out of here. But I didn't know who it was. But I was convinced that that's what it was. So I wrote a memo to all of our teachers that we had here and all of our daycare workers on how they should come into work, how they should be, how they should appear, how they should be on time, how they should quit taking off whenever they wanted to, on and on and on. You know, stuff like if you worked any other job, that's what you'd have to do. And I took copies of that letter and I handed it out to everybody that worked here. And one lady, in 10 minutes time, packed everything that she had, got in her car, drove off, and she just hit the high places on the road. That's how fast she was going. And it was her. After she left, I found out that there were things that she was doing to try to get that leadership job in the daycare so it could be hers. And the Bible showed me, the right hand showed me my enemies. Amen. I love it. This Bible is right. In everything it says. Revelation 5:1, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. See, that's what's in your right hand. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. You could have people backstabbing you, talking bad about you at the workplace, running you down all the time. Meanwhile, they're pretending to be your friend and your buddy. They keep trying to get closer and closer to you. They're the ones that are running right to the boss, telling everything that you're doing, everything that's going on with you, everything that you're saying. They're the ones doing it. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children, this is the power of three. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Who's your biggest enemy? Who is your biggest number one enemy? It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from behind the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Aren't you glad that you don't have to pronounce all these words right in order to go to heaven? I am. In Gedi or in Jedi, Hazazon Tamar, which is it? Jehoshaphat. Then down in verse 10, and now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. the power of three. Whom thou beholdest will not let Israel invade. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That means you don't have to throw a fit when you didn't get such and such that you wanted for Christmas. It's exactly what that means. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So back in Genesis 3, when the woman saw that the tree was A, good for food, B, that it was pleasant to the eyes, C, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Man, oh man. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, came of the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken, all ye Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, be thou, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He even said this before Calvary. He knew what he was going to do at the cross. He knew the bloodshed. He knew the scourging. He knew the crown of thorns. He knew that from 6 a.m. all the way probably to 6 p.m. that Jesus hung on that cross, died for the sins of all mankind. Truly, people, the battle is not yours. It truly is God's. Let God fight it. Let God fight it. Let him have it. Let him deal with it. He'll do a much, much better job than you can. And you can just sit back then and enjoy the relationship between you and God. You can enjoy a little bit of heaven here on this earth right now, if you will yield yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God, you can have a little taste of heaven here down on this earth. I promise you, it's good to live this way. It really is. God is a God that answers prayers. He's answered many of mine this past week. I'm thankful that he has. I'm thankful of the way that he's done it. And I ask you that know me, just continue to pray for me. Pray for our radio station. Pray for Michael. He's going to go back in December and try to figure out, you know, what exactly is going wrong with the radio station in Turkana. Just pray for him. Lift him up if you would. Pray for our church. Pray for our ministries. Pray for me. Pray for one another. You are the reason why I do what I do, and I'm awfully glad to be doing it. And in everything that you do, don't think Fauci. Think Bible.